Everyone could take a seat here. I believe the Lord's going to do something today. Some of you are still walking around in chains. Some of you are still bearing the weight, as the psalmist writes, the daily weight of your sin. Some of you have still not found the wholeness that is available to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how you've made it this far. I don't know how you have heard the word of the Lord spoken to you and over you again and again. But some of you today, you're going to find freedom. You're going to find freedom. You're going to find new life. Now, I've got a little meme because, you know, I joke that I'm kind of old school. I don't like doing PowerPoints, but here you go. Did you know it gets cold in autumn because the warmth of God's love was extinguished from all the sinning you did during spring break? This is my love and affection for you, okay? So, yeah. Thank you, Garrett. All right. So today, I'm going to actually address the issue of confession. This is not really necessarily a happy issue, or at least it doesn't seem like it, though it actually is, quite honestly. Let me just start by asking this. How many of you have sinned? Okay, some of you, it took way too long. Way too long. You may be sinning, just not confessing so quickly. So, okay, how many of you have sinned? Maybe even in the last week. Some of you are not quite sure. Hold them up. Everybody look around. Okay? Everyone is aware that everyone else here has sinned. I don't see your hand up. What's going on? Yeah, you did. Okay, you can put them down. Every one of you has sinned. This is not something unique to you. This is not something that's hidden away. So, oh, wow, that's shocking. Dr. Carol sinned? I didn't expect that one. Dr. Paul, yes, but Dr. Carol. Everybody sins, right? Give me some feedback or I'll just keep digging. Okay. Here's the deal. I want to give you some instruction today about the issue of dealing with sin, specifically as regards confession. This is something we've essentially spiritualized and then abandoned as a Christian practice. So the Psalms the Psalm that was read, Psalm 32, referred to the burden, the feeling of being crushed, of being destroyed by the weight of our sin unconfessed, but then speaks of the life and the wholeness, the refreshing, the newness of having made confession. Now, we hear that and suddenly we spiritualize it. What do I mean by we spiritualize it? I mean, we consider that it is enough, it is sufficient to simply confess to God our sins and then forgive ourselves as from the Lord. But I'm going to suggest to you today that may not actually be sufficient. That in fact, the very notion that we have a psalm that confesses sin tells me there was a public confession of disobedience, of rebellion, of hardness of heart, of failure to do all that God has commanded that we do, to be all that God has commanded us to be. A public confession that in fact receives forgiveness as a member of God's community. That's something altogether different. Now, we have created it within our church systems, most of our church systems, this notion that if I've sinned, what do? I go to the altar or I spend a little time in prayer. I confess my sin. Jesus forgives me. I move on with life. However, I dare say probably most of you have still, you have gotten up from asking forgiveness and still carried the guilt. Is that not true? You have still carried the weight of that sin. And in fact, little more has happened than that you have granted yourself forgiveness, but have not in fact received it as you ought to. James chapter 5, verse 16, James is confronting a number of different issues. One of the issues that he confronts, he actually talks about some of them are getting sick. Some of them are diseased, as it were. And then he talks about offering prayers of faith to make them well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. But then he says this, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Huh. I'm afraid we have too readily forgiven ourselves and not allowed the word of Christ to be heard through our brothers and our sisters in the Lord as we make confession one to another of our sins and hear from the other, you are forgiven. Because this is the deal. You can imagine God speaking to you, you're forgiven, right? But how much better to actually hear the words? How much better to actually hear someone who looks you in the eyes, who you have confessed your sins to say, the Lord Jesus forgives you. Oh, man. Well, let's just talk about this for a bit, because maybe we need to talk about actually what sins are we needing to confess, because I've actually found all sorts of problems in this area of the notion of confession with sins. How about sins that you want forgiveness for? Okay, that should be all of them, right? Okay, yeah. If you want forgiveness for sins, you ought to confess your sins. Now, let me be more specific. Those sins which ought to be confessed to another in particular are, for instance, sins which are sins you have been hiding and repeating. Things you have hidden and typically repeated. Any of you have sins that you kind of struggle with? It seems like no matter how many times you confess, okay, that's good, that's good. I see those hands. Thank you. The rest of y'all must be saints already. You ever wondered, how do I break this, right? You pray, oh, Jesus, just forgive me, help me, I'll never do it again. You just forgive me, I'll never do that again. And then suddenly you do it again. It's like 5 minutes later, right? Amen is almost still coming off your lips as you're getting ready to go do the sin. It's time to confess it to another person. Because in speaking it out, in making confession, you now have somebody who will hold you accountable to what you have said concerning how you have wronged whatever. How somehow you have violated what God has said. It is someone else. As you begin to speak it, you declare, I need the forgiveness. I need the help that only God can grant. And I'm embracing forgiveness. Amen? So some of you, you've been hiding stuff. There's some of you, you've been hiding stuff. And you think you're hiding. The fact of the matter is you're not hidden. Not only does God see it, you know it. That's not hidden. And likely everybody else around you who knows you well knows about your sin. It's not that hidden. You're not that good, trust me. So sins that have been hidden, they just need exposed. They need confessed. Also, sinful acts against another person. So these personal acts of disobedience towards someone else where you confess to that person. Now, something I want to share with you. Don't simply confess wrong thoughts. What do you mean, Rick? Here's what I mean. I have met enough people, in fact, they're more likely to confess wrong thoughts towards someone than wrong actions. And the idea of confessing wrong thoughts is actually just manipulative. It's manipulative, and it's harmful. It actually ruins a relationship because more often than not, that person doesn't know you have wrong thoughts towards them. And now you've just spoken that out. Yeah, by the way, Jimmy, I've had some hate in my heart towards you. But Jimmy thought I liked him all this time, you know? It actually spoils in the supposed attempt to create wholeness in our relationship. I've actually brought something in, some question in his mind. Some breakdown in our relationship. So in the attempt at wholeness, I actually violate that relationship, that brotherliness, that sisterliness. So I'm talking about actual deeds, not simply wrong thoughts towards people, okay? Because you will ruin confession, the act of confession, by simply confessing thoughts. Who should you confess to? Well, I had actually debated ordering a priest shirt, you know, just get the little collar and everything. I thought it'd be kind of fun. Bob has a shirt like that. I could have just borrowed his and put a little white piece of paper there. You know, who do you confess to? There's no priest to confess to. But there are brothers and sisters who are faithful, who love you and who love the Lord, who are mature, who will hear your confession, and then they will confront your sin, and they will speak forgiveness over your sin. There is a specific group of people right here on this campus that have received some level of training in this. They're at some place. They're called RDs and RAs. They're called the faculty of this institution, the staff of this institution. Now, that's not to say there aren't as well other students who might do this, but don't make confession to just anybody. Now, I don't know, I shouldn't ask this. Let me just talk in past tense. Okay. There's been groups in the past, for instance, of guys struggling with pornography. You know, in case you weren't aware, pornography might be an issue for a few people in our country and in our world and throughout the entire history of humankind. This sexuality, this draw towards all sorts of different things. Okay. Very often, we will create these sort of groups where we can make confession. It's supposed to be safe space. We can confess to each other. We can talk about it. More often than not, the group becomes, in fact, a way of giving aggrandizing. It's actually giving more space to the sin than to redemption and forgiveness. It actually creates, typically, more space for simply thinking about the wrongdoing, thinking about the things you need freedom from, than actually finding ways to get free from it. I'm just going to be quite honest with you. Which is where you need a mature person who will confront you with your sin. They're not going to just let you get away with it. They're not simply going to say, oh, well, that's okay, you've confessed it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are forgiven. They're not going to say, oh, give me some more details. I don't quite, how bad was that sin? Like, what exactly did you do? Tell me a little more. We can confess, and it can become little more than confessing a pride in our own sinfulness. We actually can create space where sin, it flourishes, it finds yet further life, and plants seeds in the hearts and minds of others. But when we confess to those that we rightfully ought to confess to, we create space for wholeness and forgiveness and restoration. Amen? This is the confessing to one another to find healing. Those who are receiving confession, let me just give you a quick word. Again, don't let them off easy. If somebody confesses to you, don't just let them off easy. This is not a trite matter. So it's not a small thing. You speak as the voice of the Lord Jesus. And you ought to hear what the Lord is saying. So don't simply respond. Allow the Spirit to speak to you and through you to that person. There might be things that prophetically you need to speak to them and you need to call out things. There are things in their life that they have done that are actually, that are feeding whatever that sin is. They've confessed this sin. The fact of the matter is there are deeper issues that need confronted. And you need the Spirit to speak to you. So don't let them off. Don't just say, okay, yeah, thank you for confessing that. You're forgiven. Don't do that. Rebuke as Jesus rebuked. Amen? And then grant them forgiveness as Jesus forgives. We're not here to hold things over people, to manipulate people because, oh, they've made confession. Now I know you and I know your dirt. Grant them forgiveness. Speak life into them. Speak new life into them. Freedom from that sin. Amen? Okay, moving on. So here's the deal. We confess our sins. We find the right people to confess it, the right way to confess it. We begin to confess it. they speak either rebuke, life into us. But let me just offer a couple of more points here in relation to confession. Just because you confess does not mean you ought to think that you should avoid consequence. Consequences are not a bad thing. In fact, let me offer to you, brothers and sisters, consequences are the discipline of the Father who loves you. He says he disciplines those he loves. If he didn't love you, he would kill you. He doesn't need you. No, he loves you, and therefore he allows for and brings upon you consequences for your sin, despite confession. I think of Jeremiah, who suffered right alongside of those of Jerusalem, despite his confession of his sin, his being a part of this, and their sin. Don't think that you avoid consequences. I think of David sinning with Bathsheba, taking a woman who wasn't his own. You know, he draws all sorts of people into this, his general, his servants, this woman, one of his commanders. He gets rebuked, he repents. Oh, he's forgiven. But is that the end of the story? No. In fact, 2 Samuel chapter 12, 10 through 14, specifically says, yes, you are forgiven, but for the rest of your life, your son's hands will be against you. There will be war in your house for the whole rest of your life. Wow. And in fact, this plays out. In fact, he's even told, one of your own sons, while you sinned in private thinking you hid it away, one of your sons now as a consequence is going to sin publicly. Whereas you violated a woman in private, he will violate all of your women in public. And not only that, the Lord continues to say, yes, you are forgiven, but know this as well. The son that is in Bathsheba's womb, he's going to die. That's brutal. But I'm telling you this, because David, for the rest of his days, remembered that sin. He could have easily, in fact, gone back to similar sins, except the consequences reminded him, as he was forced to live for 7 years away from Jerusalem because one of his sons had created a civil war to try and take over. He lived with the memory of a son that he had lost. In fact, whenever he saw Solomon, he would have remembered the son who was born by the same wife just before Solomon. And he would have said to himself, I will not violate what the Lord has said. I will find myself morning and night delighting in the law of the Lord. I will guard my heart and my eyes. I will guard my hands from sinning against God. I will meditate on his word day and night so that I don't sin against him. Because I know the consequences. Now, some of you, you're terrified of consequences. You think, if I confess, I ought to get away with it now. You just absolve me, I'm good to go. No, no. I'm telling you, we need a culture here that embraces the consequences as a joy unto the Lord. Oh, that's horrible. Nobody wants the consequences. There was a time of confession last semester concerning issues specifically related to pornography. And I'm going to say this. There ought to be consequences to help you to find freedom. I'm just saying this. So you've stolen from another room in your dorm, and you decide, you know what, the Lord's convicting me now. I need to confess this, so I take it to my RD. Big country, I'm sorry. I took this. I knew I shouldn't have taken it. And he says, well, know that you're forgiven. Here's your points. Receive that as from the Lord Jesus, because your Father loves you. He doesn't let you just get away with sin and forget about it. He has buried your sins in the depths of the sea, but you remember the consequences that you will not violate that relationship again. Amen? One more point related to this. Recompense. That's a nice big word. I got to use big words. I'm, you know, almost Dr. Rick. recompense. You got consequence, you got recompense. What is recompense? Recompense is repayment for what you've done wrong. Now, we're not starting anything, you know. Twyla's not going to set up, this is where you say your 12 Hail Marys and then you put your offering in there, you know. You could purchase these candles over on the side for your sins to make a slight payment for them. You know, we could start decking out the chapel with gold and, you know, with all the sinful payments that all you have to make. Actually, that's not a bad, okay. We got some funding issues. You all keep sinning and just send us the money, okay? Just send us the checks. No, here's the deal. Recompense. Again, we like to get away with sin and just confess it. This is why we keep it private and just confess it to God and don't make it public. Because it lets us off easy. I'm remembering a wee little man who heard Jesus was passing by one day and he climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Yeah. And when he saw him, Jesus stopped. I want to go to your house today. And when he went to his house, what does Zacchaeus say? Jesus! I've robbed from so many people as a tax collector. I've been taking money from people that I shouldn't have. I'm going to pay them back more than I stole. And Jesus says, the kingdom is here. This man is entering the kingdom right here. Why? Because his heart was in the right place. He confessed his sin, but he went beyond that. He said, you know what? I'm going to repay even more than I had taken. Huh. Some of you need to figure out what you need to do in recompense towards those you've wronged. Words may not be enough. I'm just saying that words may not be enough. Words can be easily spoken. The powerful. You need to speak them. But you may need to figure out, and this is not about you paying for your sin. Okay, don't get that notion. This is not paying for your sin. You're not somehow earning forgiveness. Not at all. But when we confess our sins to each other and receive this forgiveness, we recognize because of the joy in our heart of being free, I want as good a relationship with you as possible because we belong to the Lord and we represent the Lord. Therefore, I give generously out of the abundance. I want you to be blessed. I want us to be in wholeness. That's recompense. It is giving generously to say, you know what? I recognize I've blown it and this is how, in fact, I want to honor you. I've dishonored you. This is what I'm going to do to intentionally honor you. This is, in fact, maybe related to what Jesus says when he says, love your enemies. Pray for those which despitefully use you. It is giving to those who would not, in fact, give back to you, that, in fact, you've wronged, that you realize there's brokenness here. I'm going to honor them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to give. Amen? So, here's the deal. You have an opportunity today. You have an opportunity today. You have sat and heard the Lord speaking to you. To confess your sins, to embrace the consequences, to consider recompense. You today are being called to make confession for life. As often as you sin, confess, and he is faithful and just to forgive. Amen? Pray with all of the church through all of the ages, Father, forgive us as we forgive others. As we seek wholeness with each other, make us whole. Amen? So today, I could invite an altar call. Maybe some of you, some of you may need to just spend time before Jesus. You just need to cry out. Some of you need to soak the front. You need to soak the pew. Others of you need to find that person, those persons, and make confession. If you have wronged someone, make it right today. Do not go another day. Some of you need to pick up the phone and call one of your parents. Father, I thank you. You have forgiven us so much. Thank you, Father. You have loved us when we were not worthy of any of it. And Father, I pray, Lord, we know that we sin in many ways, but we long to walk in your wholeness, in your love, in your grace and mercy. So we make confession, because the one who confesses finds mercy. Father, I pray that there would be wholeness in this community, that Trinity Bible College would be a community committed to confessing sins one to another in ways that brings life, in ways that brings unity, that we would live appropriately as the family of God, as sons and daughters of God. I pray, Lord, that we would receive these words of life, that we would walk in newness, Lord, that the sins that we have brought for confession, we would leave them behind. They are the old, the new has come. Lord Jesus, today I pray that chains that have been binding people, walls that have been put up between people would be torn down, would be broken in Jesus' name. Father, forgive us. Forgive us as we forgive others. Forgive us, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now may you find the wholeness that Jesus alone gives. When we confess, He forgives. When we confess, He forgives. When we confess, He forgives. Brother, sister, do not carry your sin anymore. Do not hide it. Do not excuse it. Confess it, and Jesus will forgive you. Praise the Lord. Go in the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. May He watch over you. May He keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you with the joy of being His family. Amen.